Good morning. Good morning. I want to thank Bill for an opportunity to speak this morning. It's one of the great joys of my life to when I have an opportunity to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the truth be known, there's probably many here that could do a more adequate job than I could. And it's an honor for me to have the opportunity to share with you, but still it's a humbling experience to know that I'm speaking to those that should be teaching me. And having saying teaching, I'm not here to try to teach anybody anything new. I'm just trying to help remind you of some of the things we already know. And the question I want to ask today is, who am I? We ask that question. Does it get turned on here? Oh, okay, yep. Who am I? We ask that question of ourselves many times, don't we? Throughout our lives, throughout our days, you know, who am I? I mean, as I was preparing for this, I asked my question, you know, who am I? I said, well, I'm a son. Yeah, but I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. Wait a minute, I'm a great-grandfather. Wow. I've been a quality control manager, quality assurance over a corporation. I've been an aerospace industry inspection. I've worked in the oil field, crawling around in the crud and things like that. And though I've been all those things and I am all those things, that's not me. It's really not. It's not me. It's parts of what make me, but it's not me. Then I had to think back to years ago when I was in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And I went over because I was asked to come over to be an evangelist for a congregation. And we were wandering around, and I came across what they call Preacher's Corner. And it's true, they really have these. And there was a preacher standing on a box. And I know what they mean now about getting off your soapbox, because that's basically what they do, is they get up in a box and they start speaking. And he was preaching, and I was standing across the street, and I was listening. He started to quote Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Oh, I love that verse. I usually use that almost in every message that I have. And he got up there and he says, Peter replied, repent and be converted, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I scream from cross street, that's not what it says. It says repent and be baptized. And he looked at me, he got down off his soapbox, and he left. I felt a little puffed up. Hey, I stopped some false teaching, you know. And the people I was with, one of the guys looked at me and he says, I'm glad you did that, but here we usually show courtesy to one another and at least let them finish, and then we get up and rebut what it says. You know, we don't act that rude to our people. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. And this other person looked at me and said, who do you think you are to do something like that? And trust me, I'm the type of person, if you corner me fast, I respond with my mouth quicker than my brain can function. And I opened my mouth and I stopped, because in my head popped, in all things, love. And then I answered, no, I'll tell you what I answered in a few minutes, if that's okay. Because what I want to talk about right now is what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Because it helps you to understand my answer. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Did you see what that says? Jesus says all authority has been given to him. Not to me, not to anyone else, to him. All authority is his. And what does he do with it? He turns around and he says, this is what I want you to do. I'm giving you the authority to go out and to make disciples of all nations. And as you go, you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if you do these things, he says, I want you to teach them all things I've commanded you. But he's also saying, now, if you're doing this, I will be with you always. Why is it that we always claim that? Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. But we don't do what he's told us to do, which is to go make disciples. What are disciples? Simply, it's someone who desires to know more and to follow. And as a Christian, it's to know more of Jesus Christ and to follow Jesus Christ, to be committed to following Christ. So go out and make those who want to follow Jesus Christ what he's telling us to do. And he's given us the authority to do it. But also, in Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has been who disbelieved, shall be condemned. Now, I've always asked this question when I first became a Christian. How do you know those who are saved and those who are lost? Jesus just gave us the answer. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. If they haven't been baptized, they can't claim salvation. But yet, churches all over, and I use that term loosely, churches, tell people, you say a prayer, you can be saved. Repeat after me, be saved. Believe, and you'll be saved. That's not what Jesus just said. Because remember, Jesus is the only one who has authority. No one else has the authority to change anything that Jesus said. We don't have the power. We don't have the wisdom, the understanding to change anything that Jesus Christ tells us to do. You know, I remember going to Haiti, the country of Haiti, one time, and I was on a plane sitting next to a Catholic nun. And I kept looking over at her, and boy, she was nervous. She had her rosary just... And after about 20 minutes, I got a little nervous. I thought, maybe she knows something that I don't know. And finally, I looked over and I said, don't you know that Jesus says he's going to be with us always? She snapped back in a heartbeat saying, he said, and lo, I will be with you. Didn't say anything about an airplane. You know, and things like that, sometimes we say something, we don't realize what we're saying. We're using parts of Scripture. And lo doesn't mean a level. And it means, and behold, I'm going to be with you always if you do what I say. And part of what he says is make disciples. But he tells us that we need to go and baptize. And when they're baptized, they're going to be saved. There's a guarantee that he gives us. And he seals that guarantee with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul says in... Excuse me, I'm not up to 1 Corinthians yet. I'm up to Romans. I'm getting ahead of myself. For though the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Isn't it strange? Sometimes we get locked up into thinking we're more important than we really are. I hear preachers from different congregations around that I'm sure that some of you have. Oh, last year we saved 47 people. Last year we saved 229. Can you beat that? And I look at them and say, yeah, I can beat it because I've never saved anybody. The only one that's ever saved anybody is Jesus Christ. All I can do is point them the direction they need to go. It's their decision. And I decided one day, I was at the North American. This was years ago when it actually used to be the North American Christian Convention and not the International Brotherhood of whatever. And a guy come up and he had this really fancy suit, and it had to be about an $800 suit. He looked at me and says, are you a preacher? And I says, yes, sir. He says, you don't look like a preacher. I smiled. I said, thank you, because I don't know what a preacher looks like. I thought he looked like anybody. And he said, well, what size is your congregation? I said, well, it's between 1 and 2,000. He stepped back. Oh, I've only got 280. And I says, well, I got 14. He said, well, you just said it was between 1 and 2,000. I said, between 1 and 2,000. It's between there. You know, sometimes we think more highly than ourselves. And we try to portray ourselves as something that we're not. And I'm saying that because sometimes we do that in Christianity as Christians, don't we? We try to be we should have an SC on our chest that says super Christian. Look at me. I'm so great. I'm a goody two-shoes. I don't ever do anything wrong. I'm sorry. If you can do that, praise God, because every day I'm asking God for forgiveness because I blew it somehow. And I keep telling myself, but Bob, you're only human. I say, yeah, I know I'm only human, but I ought to be able to do better than I'm doing. And that gives me the courage to do better the next time and to do what God wants us to do. In 1 Corinthians 15:9 through 20, Paul starts out and he says, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Wow. How many of you really look up to Paul as an apostle? I do. I mean, he's my example. Jesus is my permanent example, but Paul I can kind of relate to. You know, because I'm not God and Jesus is, but I can relate to Paul because he was a man and he had struggles. And here's Paul and he's saying, I am the least of the apostles. Today you'd say, I'm a nobody. I mean, compared to everybody else, I'm nobody. I'm just me. Isn't that how we should approach people when we talk to them? I'm nobody special. I'm just me. I'm just a lost sinner that Jesus Christ found. I'm a blood-bought, faithful member of His family. That's who I am. See, the only difference between the lost and us is we have Christ and they don't. Understand that, please. That's the only difference. We're not better than they are. We're not superior to they are. We're just like them, everyday people, except we're saved. And they're not. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You see what Paul's doing? You understand what he's saying here? I was nobody. I was nothing. God is the one that made me something. We need to quit looking at ourselves and look back towards God more than we have. And realize we are what we are because of Jesus Christ. We are, and what we do is because of Jesus Christ, not of our own. And realize when we fail, we're failing on our own because we're not following Jesus Christ and God. And I love what he continues to go on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 3. He says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I'm sorry, when you read about Paul, he doesn't seem like a very weak, scared guy. Okay? I mean, I don't see that when I read Scripture. I read somebody who's bold, who's confident, whose strength is there. But what it comes from is it comes from God. It comes from Jesus Christ. But he's saying here, "Beloved, though I can speak," and you know he was a good speaker because he was a member of the Sanhedrin, if you read into the Scriptures. He was a teacher. He was a great orator. But he says, "I didn't come to you with all that. The only thing that I came and I want to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He's saying, "I'm focusing everything that I am doing on Jesus Christ and Him being crucified. Why? To save a wretch like me." Wow. We want to know how to reach people today. Amen. One of the hardest generations in history to reach. I want to tell you something. Part of the problem is, and this was a survey done by Barna, they asked the question, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back in your lifetime?" 85% of the people that responded said no. Not in their lifetimes. And the scary thing was, is there were preachers and great theologians in that study. Do you want to know why we're not reaching anybody today? Because too many of us don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, so therefore there's no urgency to get people saved. If we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back in our lifetime, and some of us don't have much of it left, we need to get out and say, we don't have much time. You need to hear the truth. But we have to have that urgency in our life. We have to convince He's coming back, because we seem to forget. Jesus Christ comes back for someone every moment of every single day. There's not a time when He's coming. He's coming every day, every moment for somebody. And we don't know when. And I speak from experience that one, when I had a heart attack over a year ago. I was doing the best that I had ever done in my life, walking. I was walking sometimes up to 5 and 6 miles a day. Man, I thought I was doing fantastic. And then one day I was out cutting the grass and I didn't feel so good when I sat down. Started having problems. My lovely wife got me to the hospital. And then it really hit. Never felt so much pain in my life. And they come in and they said, "You're having a heart attack." I'm sorry, my mind said to me, "Duh, I know something's the matter." But then I thought, how many things did I leave undone for God? that I could be doing because I'm too busy doing something for me and not for Him. We need to get back to knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified as our focus on our lives. And show it to our friends and our neighbors that we come in contact with. Because you may not believe this. This generation is the ripest for harvest than we've ever seen. You don't believe that, do you? Do you know how I know that? Because almost every one of them is looking for somebody to fill that something, to fill that one little spot in their heart that only Christ can fill. They're looking for it in relationships. They're looking for it in drugs. They're looking for it in alcohol. They're looking for it in anything. Adrenaline rushes or whatever. They're looking for something to fill that spot, and it's not filling the spot, and it's getting worse and worse because the only thing that can fill that spot is Jesus Christ. You say, but brother, I've tried. They don't listen to me. Speaking from experience, I know why they don't listen to me. Because if I'm not living it and it's not important to me, why should it be important to them? Have you thought about that? Want to reach somebody? Let them know how important it is to you. And then they will want to know why. And you can share with them why. Because it's Jesus Christ, and He was crucified, and He died so I can live. He died to give me eternal life because He loved me that much, and He loves you just as much. There's nothing that any of us have ever done that He would reject us if we will turn back to Him and come to Him on His terms. We need to share that with them. I love what it says in Acts that we were reading earlier. Paul gives us a perfect example of evangelism. He's walking around a place that is known for people to give new ideas and to share things with, to have discussions. Because see, it was okay to have a discussion without having an argument. Today, we've lost that talent. We want to argue and not discuss. We need to discuss and not argue. That's why we have so many denominations. Did you know that? Because so many of us want to fight each other what the Bible says instead of sitting down and actually seeing what the Bible says. Evangelism is no different. People believe different things. But you don't know why they believe it? Because we don't know the people. You see, Paul's there and he's meeting the people. He's seeing where they are. And when he's asked, he takes them to where they are. Hey, I noticed when I was walking around, you guys have got this altar to an unknown God. Well, he's the one I want to talk to you about. See, you already know him, you just don't know his name. You just haven't been introduced. Let me introduce you to him. His son's name is Jesus Christ, and he came down to this earth. Yeah, he really did. He walked on this earth. And then he paid the ultimate sacrifice. Why? Because he loved us. He was willing to die on the cross so we wouldn't have to. He died so we could live. Wow. He's the one you don't know I want to introduce you to. See, we need to get to know people. How many neighbors do you know? Do you know your neighbors? How many people do you see every single day? How many people do you work with? Do you know them? You'd be surprised the success rate of sharing Jesus Christ and having them open their eyes to seeing who Christ is when you get to know somebody. Because you see, when you get to know them, they know they can trust you. And if they can trust you, they can listen to you. But when you don't know somebody and you don't trust them, you don't listen. It just goes in one ear and out the other. So what did I answer? This is what I answered. Trying to heal everybody. Oh, outside.